I'd like to call this special meeting to order and ask you to rise and join me in the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
What does it say?
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall will be arriving late this evening. Ms. Robertson?
I'm here under protest.
Mr. Shinagawa has asked to be excused this evening. Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stephen has also asked to be excused this evening. Mr. Burbank?
I, too, am here under protest at this extraordinary, unusual time and under these conditions.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here under protest for asking our staff, our legislators to change their schedules and our staff at the cost to the taxpayers of holding this meeting.
Mr. Dennis?
I'm here. As much as I love meetings, I'm unhappy about this one, but I am here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Here.
12 members present.
I thank you all for rearranging your schedules to attend this special meeting. No action is requested by me or necessary of the legislature today, and thus no one will be who is unable to attend will have their vote disenfranchised. I've called this meeting of this body to declare to a quorum of those assembled that I made a decision in error at our last meeting. And this informational session will lay out our options for correcting that decision at a future meeting. Upon reviewing the tape of the January 6th legislature meeting, and in consultation with Jonathan Wood, our county attorney and parliamentarian, it's quite clear that when I called for a revote on vice chair after a recess, I did not have the authority to do so. Several legislators pointed out that improper action to us all during the meeting of January 6th, but we did not take corrective action due to the confusion my mistake caused for the remainder of the meeting. That constituted a breach of our rules, and Robert's Rules of Order are the parliamentary rules which apply for elections in this instance. In a moment, I will lay out options for definitively correcting that breach and the corresponding ruling which I made later in the meeting. But before I do so, you, my esteemed colleagues, our staff, and the public deserve an apology and a more complete explanation of my actions. First and foremost, I offer my deepest possible apology for this human mistake to you all, to the entire organization of the county government, and to the entire community of fellow citizens that I have sworn an oath to serve. I erred, and I ask for your consideration of understanding and possible forgiveness for that error, which I am committed to correcting, commencing with this meeting. You and the public also deserve to understand why I called for a vote when I did not have the authority to do so. In the moments after the first clear vote for vice chair, and during the break that ensued, I was under a great deal of political pressure to reverse my vote, and I succumbed to that pressure for the remainder of the evening. I am not proud of that series of moments when I placed politics above governing and deeply regret any public confidence it may have shaken in our normal legislature decision-making processes. I have grown up in this community and served capably in elected office for 14 years. I believe citizens of all perspectives have come to know me as someone who does not play political gamesmanship, has held as my guide for decision-making the standard of what is best for the common good of the entire community over the long term, not short-term political expediency. For my straying from that standard, I apologize. Today I begin the public process to correct my very public error and to take full responsibility for the consequences that may follow throughout this year with you, my colleagues, and constituents. I do not believe that one mistaken decision constitutes reason to step aside as your leader or as an elected representative in my district, as some have suggested, since the rest of my record as a public official stands as a testament to who I am and who you know me to be. I can only ask for your understanding and will work tirelessly to heal the rifts which this error has caused for the remainder of the days that I may be given to do so. I will now lay out options for the body to consider to achieve a definitive outcome regarding vice chair at a future meeting with all 15 legislators present. First, as Jonathan has pointed out in a memo to us, one way to resolve the issue is to suspend the rules of the legislature, which requires a two-thirds vote, and to revote. I recommend this option, but it may not be attainable. Secondly, a legislator could declare that a continuing breach has occurred. I've given a citation for Robert's rules. Parenthetically, this applies since I violated what's known as a fundamental principle of parliamentary law. I disenfranchised the legitimate votes of 14 people who participated in a valid election, violating the rights of those 14 members by doing so. If a legislator declares a continuing breach, they can ask me to remedy the breach by vacating my violation. If I do so, vacate that violation, that can be appealed and it would proceed to the body for a vote. It is clear that several legislators did object to my improper action and were actively seeking such a vehicle at our January 6th meeting. They did not achieve a conclusive method to do so. A continuing breach may be noted at any meeting, and the action must be corrected. I cannot summarily vacate the improper action on my own, since that would constitute another invalid action, and two wrongs don't make a right. Third, if any legislator believes that my calling for a vote after a break is deeply improper, they can move to rescind that decision. And elections can only be rescinded at future meetings if malfeasance is determined. While I'll do my best to answer questions, Jonathan has advised us all that any disagreement as to who is or should be the vice chair of the legislature should be resolved by the county legislature. And it is my hope that we all can concur with that advice. It is my opinion that the first method for a definitive outcome, that is, suspension of the rules, be undertaken at the next meeting where all 15 legislators are in attendance. But absent that option occurring, other options are available. Thank you once again for the courtesy of attending today's special meeting to allow me to admit to an error of taking an improper action based on our rules, share my strained reasoning, and apologize for that error, and to outline options for moving forward in a definitive manner. Thank you.
Point of information?
Pam?
Yes. In option number one, you say that one way to resolve the situation is to suspend the rules of the legislature and to revote. Are you suggesting a revote of both the chair and the vice chair, or just the vice chair?
Anyone who moves to suspend the rules would have to articulate that. One could suspend the rules for the vote of the chair. One could suspend the rules for the vote of the vice chair. One could suspend the rules for the vote of officers, which would be both.
Thank you.
I'd like to move to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. There's been a second. Is there discussion? Martha and Dooley.
I am very disturbed by the circumstances of this meeting being called. If this was purely informational, we could have received this information in a press release or email or any other way, memo. I would like to read the letter from if somebody else is going to read Nathan's letter,
If you would rather do it, that's fine.
No, I don't.
He asked me to do it.
No, that's fine. I would just say that I also had a conflict for this meeting and told Mike that on Monday when he said it was he was looking for all of us to be able to attend at 5:30 today, and I said I couldn't, so I had to cancel an appointment. I think any further discussion of the substance of this topic at all, any response to Michael's statement, any questions to Jonathan, are really disrespectful of our two legislators who are not here. I don't know why Greg couldn't be here, but Nathan made it very clear he basically begged us not to have this meeting. So I think we should leave as soon as we can vote on this.
Sounds like you are supporting adjourning. Any other discussion before we vote on the motion? Dula Kiefer.
Yes, I don't think that we should adjourn without some commentary on the statement that you read, and that's what I would like to do. And I am very troubled by what will be perceived as Mike has said what is accurate if nobody else speaks to any of your statement. The idea that the what you call your error, the improper action on January 6th to have a revote after a recess was an error is something I would dispute, because it's a chair's job to manage voting, it's true, and part of the managing of voting, besides calling for the votes correctly, is to announce the results of the vote and what the actual numbers that you report mean in terms of the action taken. And the only time that you did that, and I say this because I watched the tape, was after the vote taken after the recess. The vote immediately before the recess, you announced numbers, but you did not say that we have so-and-so as vice chair, and that is part of the duty of the chair. So in my view, the last action taken, the one that you were saying was an error, that you succumbed to somehow under political pressure, is not an error. It should stand in terms of parliamentary interpretation. I'm not saying I would object at some point to reconsidering everything, but I certainly don't think it's that we should do it for that reason.
Further discussion on the motion to adjourn. Mike Hattery, then Pam.
Well, this isn't discussion on the motion to adjourn, but I figured while you're getting beat up, I would take the time to say that I appreciate you doing this. The likelihood that we could have had 15 members here or 14 was significant. I'm assuming that given your general demeanor since I've known you on the legislature, your intent was to try and get this issue resolved as expeditiously as possible so that we could get on with the business that we were all elected to do. And this is clearly a disputed issue among the legislators and in the community at this point. So I appreciate you taking that initiative, even though it obviously failed and we're going to have to decide this at another time.
Pam, then Will.
Yes, Nathan Shinagawa asked me to read his letter because he couldn't be here. And so I would like to do that at this moment. This is a letter to Chairman Kaplinka-Lehr. I earnestly request that you postpone or cancel the special meeting of the legislature that you scheduled for January 15. I am sincerely disappointed that you called this meeting despite your prior knowledge of my schedule conflict. By continuing with this meeting, knowing I would not attend, you disenfranchised me of my rights as a legislator and representative of my constituents. Following a budget and capital meeting on January 12, 2009, I informed you that I would not be able to attend any meeting between January 14th and January 16th, during which time I will be at a health care symposium in New York City. This is a required mandatory event for my graduate school program from which I cannot be absent. I am shocked that such an important meeting was called, knowing that the full body could not attend. The election for the leadership of the legislature is one of the most important votes of the year. The leadership guides and drives the agenda of the county, and I care greatly who is at the helm. The decision to hold this vote without my attendance is tantamount to disenfranchisement. It strips me of my rights to take part in a crucial discussion and decision of the legislature. If I am reappointed chair of the Budget and Capital Committee, I will work closely with whoever, whomever occupies the leadership in what is likely to be a difficult budget year. I'm appalled that I will not have the ability to voice my opinion and mark my vote on who those leaders will be. I am concerned about why the discussion and decision about the leadership of the legislature is not occurring during a regularly scheduled full meeting of the legislature. Since my election, I have scheduled my life around our legislative meetings. As recently reported by the Ithaca Journal, I have had a perfect attendance in our full legislature meetings through 2008 and beyond. While you do have the right to call a meeting with only 48 hours notice, such immediacy is unwarranted and unnecessary in this case. When such an important decision or decisions or discussion is to take place, it is your duty to make efforts to ensure that all legislators are able to attend or that they are given sufficient notice to attend. In fact, you had stated before that if you were to revisit this issue, you would find a time when all legislators could be present. Why has this standard changed? In your recent press release, you cited your concern about the public trust as one of the reasons why you called a special meeting. How does calling for a sudden meeting when an elected representative of the public cannot attend and thus cannot be the voice of his constituents regain the trust you say may be broken? This meeting must be held at a time and date when all legislators can participate. I ask you to cancel or postpone this meeting until all legislators are able to attend. This is a reasonable request. Sincerely, Nathan Shinagawa.
Thank you, Pam. I have Will Burbank next. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Mike. I, too, want us to adjourn, but I do feel it necessary to express my extreme displeasure for the circumstances of this meeting. And, Mike, it really is at odds with your stated purpose of rebuilding trust. My experience on this legislature, I'll be a brief one. Generally, when meetings have been scheduled, there has been some attempt to explore with people's various schedules availability. We've been given options. In this particular case, you declared that this meeting would happen at a very unusual time when at least three, possibly four people indicated to you that they were not available. You did not indicate any alternatives. You simply just announced that it was going to be happening. In my experience, there has never been a meeting like this of this legislature. And I cannot tell you what a bad feeling that gives in terms of your stated commitment to restore trust. I completely understand the need to address this issue, address the confusion of the last vote, and discuss it as an entire body. There is, however, absolutely no pressing emergency that necessitates this kind of meeting. And I, therefore, support the effort to adjourn this meeting and revisit the entire issue at a time when we could all be present.
Thank you, Will. Carol?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I do understand that you can make a mistake and that we should allow you to have done so. I appreciate having your statement. You've had a lot of time to prepare it. We now need time to react to it. I was not part of any improper, any secret conversations or improper process that in any way wasn't part of the accepted process for the ways in which this body operates, and I feel like we did get asked very seriously to not engage in this kind of discussion and reaction without having all of our members present, and I'd like to honor that, which is why I move to adjourn.
Thank you, and Martha.
This used to be a very congenial body. When I was first elected 7 years ago, in fact, it was pretty much widely known as the most congenial of the local government body, compared to school board and many other. This was the friendly body. This was where people respected each other, even when they had deep disagreements about issues. We could, have a knockdown, drag out, fight about a debate, and then go out for a drink afterwards. Do we really want to destroy whatever mutual respect and trust might be salvageable from this botched process I implore you, my colleagues, to vote to adjourn this meeting. There is no urgency. There's no crisis of government. Frank, with such forethought, pointed out that the vice chair has no authority. There's no, you know, it's essential, and the journal pointed out that it's pretty much irrelevant, even though they think the chair is irrelevant. But it's quite frankly not important. The work of the government is continuing. We've had a congenial PDEQ meeting and budget meetings since last Tuesday's botched vote. There's no reason to rush through this as if it's an emergency. I understand, Mike, this is a crisis for you. There's a cloud over your actions, but that doesn't justify forcing even a discussion of the merits of this when we're not here, when we're not all here. And you know, this is not the same as if somebody can't make it to a regular meeting. This was specifically called. Monday afternoon, Mike approached several of us after the budget meeting and said he'd like to find a time when everybody can be there. And he asked about 5:30 today. And instead, I said I had an appointment. I couldn't get here by 5:30. And it was made for 4:45. So I really urge us to just put a bookmark here. I would be happy to re-vote this issue. I'm eager to change my vote for chair, for one thing. So I hope we will discuss the merits of this when all 15 members will be present, and I urge us to do whatever we can to find a time as soon as possible to do that. Thank you.
And Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in support of the adjournment, and I'm going to give you some food for thought, I think, a little pause that has something to do with the issue at hand, but I'm prompted by the letter that Pam read to at least say something about process. I think one of the charges, regardless of what direction we go in on this particular issue, I think one of the charges that this board ought to tackle during this coming year, well, the year that we're in, is a review of our rules. It's clear that we will need to identify what constitutes a crisis. What constitutes an emergency. As Pam was reading that letter, I was thinking to myself, if something is going on in my district, which I feel is an emergency or critical to me, and I have yet to receive Jim Dennis's perfect attendance sheet that he said he was making up an award for some of us that had perfect attendance, and I didn't get mine yet, Jim. But the... I think we really, seriously, I really think we need to look at what constitutes the need to have all 15 of us here at any one time. We all have responsibilities beyond this board. It could be illness, it could be family, it could be job responsibilities, a whole myriad of things that prevent us from attending a meeting. But if an issue is coming up that's of importance to us and to our district, we don't want to hamstring a department and their ability to get some work done. So I'm not suggesting we answer that today, but I think regardless of which way we proceed on this particular issue, it seems to me that we really do need to look at our rules again and perhaps clarify under what instances we would have to back off and try to assemble the entire body or make sure that the legislator or legislators that are affected are present, if indeed that's going to be an issue. Thank you.
Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. I was not going to say anything, but I can't resist. We have... And I agree with Frank. I think we ought to look at the rules. But I also agree that as soon as 15 people can't make a meeting that is portrayed as a fairly important meeting, then the meeting should not be held. There is no emergency. In fact, the emergency could be described this way. And I had asked the staff to queue up the DVD from the meeting, and in case anyone chose to go down that path to actually look at it again, you might discover that we could have possibly two vice chairs now, and that would be an interesting thing. We have one chair, two vice chairs, no emergency. I think we need to. I will obviously support the postponement or the adjournment, and move on. But it's really too bad that we even had to have this meeting.
Thank you all. If there's no further comment, are you ready to vote? All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Tyke is opposed.
Tyke voted.
Tyke, that passes with one opposed.